Now a new variant of the coronavirus, first discovered in the United Kingdom, has also been spotted in the United States. Wisconsin's Department of Health Services confirmed the first case of the new variant was documented earlier this week in Eau Claire County, the first one in the state, I should say. So far, we understand the variant to be more contagious, but not necessarily more dangerous than the original version we've been dealing with. This comes as COVID-19 case and death figures around the United States continue to be at critical levels, with the highest daily death toll since the pandemic began. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about the virus, the new variant, about the vaccine and its ongoing rollout? What do you think about how the state and the country have been handling things lately? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health and has been with us a lot of time since this all started, helping us make sense of everything going on. Dr. Remington, welcome back again.
Good to be back, Rob. Thanks.
Well, I want to start by looking at how we're doing in Wisconsin and then at the national level. First of all, in Wisconsin, not great, but not as bad as we were doing a couple months ago. Is that a fair roundup?
Well, it's always hard to compare to a time when we had a disaster. The cases in the middle of November were at an all-time high, close to 8,000 a day. We were seeing over 100 deaths a day. And so, yes, relative to a disastrous situation in the middle of November, we have improved. But we are still at sort of a raging pandemic in the state. Deaths are averaging in the 30 to 40 deaths per day. We now have over 5,000 deaths, projected to go up to 8,000 or 9,000 by early this year. So it is better than it was, but it's still at an extremely troubling level.
And the national news seems to be worse, and we're seeing national death tolls like we haven't seen at all. I mean, we haven't seen it this bad since the beginning of the pandemic. Average deaths daily over 3,000. What are we seeing at the national level?
Yeah, about a month or two ago, the map of the U.S. showed Wisconsin and the Dakotas really as the hotspot in the nation. That map, if you look at that, the New York Times puts out a great map each day. That those hotspots have shifted to Oklahoma, to the southeast, and to Southern California. So this virus just finds the weak spots, finds communities where people are not practicing social distancing or use of masks, and it just it rips through those communities, causing, high rates of cases, hospitalizations, and deaths. And then just as Wisconsin is lulled into complacency by thinking, we're doing okay, we still have maybe as many as 80% of the population is still susceptible. So if we let our guard down, this virus will just come, raging back to the Midwest, and will lead the nation once again.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Tom is with us in Milwaukee. Tom, hi.
Hi. I'm wondering if the scientists have discerned yet what makes the new variant more contagious. Does it last in the environment longer, or does it attach to the cell more quickly? What is it?
It's a great question.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a great question. There's active research on the mechanism of the increased contagiousness of this virus. Early results were that this virus was able to, as you said, latch onto the cell, causing a more likely infection. Some research has suggested that it predominates in the nasal cavity. And by simply having a preference for those cells, then it would become more contagious because people sneeze or breathe out of their nose. The virus being there is going to be more likely to spread to one person or another. In a way, it's an academic question, the mechanism. It is important, I think, for biologists to understand that. That helps advance our basic understanding of the virus. But the bottom line is it is more contagious. It is at least 50%, maybe as much as 70% more contagious. And just today, the CDC came out with a report of a model that shows that by the middle of March, this new variant, which is is in Wisconsin, it's in this country, will become the predominant a strain infecting Americans. And it's amazing to think that in just 2 short months, this one strain, probably originating in the UK, could come to this country and within 2 months could become the predominant strain. And if we don't reach our vaccination goals and if people let down their guard, we could actually see an increase of numbers of cases and number of deaths due to this new variant.
Tom, thanks for that call. Some maybe good news, Dr. Remington, if I have this right. The same stuff we've been doing, the mask wearing, the social distancing, that's still going to help us even with this new more. In fact, those things are maybe more urgent with this new, more contagious variant. Is that right?
Yeah, that's what I would say, is that this new variant is really going to be another stress test. Those things work. Wearing a mask, physically distancing, not gathering in groups outside your household, those are all still effective. But as people let down their guard and maybe connect with people outside their household, maybe spend time indoors without a mask, this virus will take advantage of those opportunities. So I think it does, just as you said. It reminds us to be even more vigilant, particularly as Wisconsin is ramping up the administration of vaccines. It's just, you know, we're in the fourth quarter, and it's not the time to let down our guard. And this virus really calls that point to be really, really important.
This is one time when we do want to play a prevent defense in the fourth quarter. Dr. Patrick Remington is with us from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, looking at the latest on COVID-19 news. We'll get to some vaccine rollout information in a bit. Let's stick with this new variant, though. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Dennis is with us in Two Rivers. Dennis, hi.
Hi. I was just wondering, since this new variant is more contagious, does that mean if we could end up with a higher viral load in less than 15 minutes? Because I heard, well, if we're exposed for 15 minutes or less, we're not in so much danger. But maybe this new variant is more contagious in less than 15 minutes.
Well, that's a good question. I think answers to those questions really might be forthcoming. It may not be that this virus is simply there are more viral particles, either in a shorter period or in more concentrated form. It could just be that each virus itself is more efficient at getting into the cell or more efficient in getting out of the infected person. So I'm not sure we know that we would now change this time from 15 minutes maybe to 10 minutes. I think it just calls attention to doing what we know works, but being more vigilant. The one misperception about this virus is that it is not thought to be more contagious, more virulent, more serious. But the problem is that if 50 or 70% more people become infected during an epidemic, then for the entire population, it is more serious. It might not be more serious for that individual getting infected and the likelihood that they'll need hospitalization or may die, but because more people are likely to be infected, the whole population burden is worse. So it is, at the same time, it's not more serious for the individual. It's definitely more serious for Wisconsin.
Thanks a lot for that call. And that's a good clarification. I had said not more dangerous, and I was thinking at the individual level, but you're quite right. Overall, it does make it more dangerous if it's more contagious. Now, I have focused a lot, Dr. Remington, on, you know, the death tolls going on. But this disease is terrible even when you live through it. There's an article from Gary D'Amato in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, longtime sports writer there. He got it. He's recovering. Knock on wood, Gary, if you're listening, I hope you're getting better. But he describes the period where he had the worst of it and was hospitalized as the worst 11 days of my life. Even if you live through this thing, it can be really terrible, right?
Well, I think the media and individuals like Gary have done a great service to come out and talk about not just the deaths, and those deaths are appalling, really, the numbers of people of all ages, particularly the elderly and particularly people with chronic conditions. But it's that morbidity, the people who are infected, who do recover, but who have residual problems with cardiac disease, breathing problems, just the hospitalization itself and being intubated, being on a respirator. These can lead to long-term complications. So many viruses cause serious illness, but you recover. But some viruses stick around for a long time, or the damage they cause really sticks around for a long time. So I think we first saw this a year ago in Wisconsin, just a little less than a year ago, and we have to wait years or decades to really have a sense of the lifelong burden of infection. So it makes it even more important, given that uncertainty, that people prevent the spread and get vaccinated when it becomes available.
Invite people to check out Gary D'Amato's piece at jsonline.com. Might invite him to join us on the show when he's feeling a little better. Dr. Patrick Remington is with us, professor emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the latest COVID-19 news. Coming up, we'll take a look at vaccines. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What are you thinking about things at this point during the ongoing pandemic? What questions do you have? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll continue the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We pick up our conversation about the latest on coronavirus in Wisconsin and around the nation. Dr. Patrick Remington stays with us, professor emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. What are you seeing in your community right now as far as how people are working to stop the spread of the disease? What questions do you have? 800-642-1234 is the number. Rana joins us now in Cameron. Rana, hi.
Hi. Good afternoon. Good afternoon, Dr. Remington. I have a question. So after a person receives the vaccination, I have read that if that person comes into contact with a person who has active COVID, that the vaccinated person would need to still quarantine because they could be asymptomatic and spread it themselves. Is there any truth to this? Thank you.
Well, that's a great question. I don't know the answer regarding CDC's protocol, but you bring up an important point in that the protocol for exposure to a known case, if you are susceptible, is absolutely to be quarantined for 2 weeks. In case you become infected, then you want to be quarantined so that you prevent spread to others. It could be, as everyone knows, the vaccines are not perfect, and 95% of the time they prevent illness, but it could be that that small rate of a breakthrough of the vaccine could be something that you would want to be cautious about and be quarantined. I would guess, though, that when this rolls out and when a larger portion of the population is immune, that if you have a proof of vaccination, that it wouldn't be a standard 14-day quarantine, that there might be some caution about looking for symptoms. It might be a 5 or 7 day period where you would avoid outside contacts. But I think it's that gray zone where you're not 100% sure that you'll be protected. You're 95% sure that having a vaccine that you won't spread it to others. But this is a serious illness, and sometimes we want policies that are, just in case you don't have perfect immunity.
Thanks a lot for that call, Rana. Staying with vaccines, Dr. Remington, I mean, they're out there, some of them. Wisconsin, I think, is in the 35th or so in the nation when it comes to percentage of vaccines used, though I've seen people say it's hard to do apples to apples comparisons because states are different, their demographics are different. What do you think of the vaccine rollout so far?
Well, it's in the news every day. I just watched the governor and the secretary of health, Julie Willems-Van Dyke, talk about some of the frustration with Washington on one day. The news is that the second doses are going to be released so that more vaccine can be delivered. And then the next day, that appears not to be the case. I think we just have to be patient. This is a hard program to administer. It literally requires calling out the National Guard. And so we're doing the best job we can in supplying vaccine, and that clearly comes from the federal government and from vaccine suppliers. But then we need the systems in place, not just healthcare providers, but local public health agencies and volunteers who come, who are trained and experienced in giving vaccines. We need everybody to help get this done. And finally, we need the public to be both patient, to wait until there's enough vaccine for given their priority, but then also compliant and agree to step up and get vaccinated. Because this is something, again, just like wearing a mask, you're doing it to protect yourself, but you're also doing it to protect the community and others. And it is a social responsibility to get vaccinated once the vaccine is available.
Talking to Dr. Patrick Remington from the UW School of Medicine and Public Health, talking about the latest COVID-19 news out there. Back to your calls now. Kevin is with us in Salem. Kevin, hello.
Hey, thanks for taking my call.
What do you want to ask about, Kevin?
So I want to ask your professor, I'm so impressed with these new mRNA vaccines from Pfizer and Moderna. I think it's just incredible science. So I want to know, what's the sense of how quickly this mRNA vaccine platform can adapt to new mutations of the SARS-CoV-2?
Kevin, great question. Dr. Remington, the vaccine versus these new mutations, new variants of COVID-19's virus.
Well, I, like Kevin, am amazed by the basic science. Sometimes people toil in laboratories and doing basic science research. In fact, a professor at the university, John Wolf, published a paper in 1990 showing for the first time that this mRNA, messenger RNA, could be injected into cells and then replicate. And that basic science discovery in his lab has led to the platform that can now produce vaccines. From my understanding, I'm not a virologist, I'm not an expert in vaccines, but from my reading of the literature, this platform is very responsive, will be very responsive to any changes in the vaccine, in the antigen expressed by the vaccine. So that the good news is that it was rapid in getting a safe and effective vaccine to market. And the good news continues to be that should this vaccine mutate, it's already mutating, we know that, but should it mutate based on the antigen that the vaccine recognizes, then this platform can respond. But it might make it more like the flu vaccine, that people would have to come back and get another vaccine that is more directed towards the current circulating strain.
Thanks a lot for that call, Kevin. We'll go to Dave now in northern Wisconsin. Dave, hi.
Hi, hello. I have a question related to catching the virus from surfaces. In the summertime, I know we were told that the virus will live for one day on paper and 3 days on plastic and steel, stainless steel or metal. And I want to ask, when I buy my groceries, I used to leave them sit in the garage for 3 days before I handled them. Now I'm wondering, with the cold weather, does the virus survive cold weather? And are there any updates about catching a virus from surfaces?
Dave, thanks a lot for the call. Quarantining our groceries, wiping down our groceries, and surface transmission, Dr. Remington.
Well, Rob, as you probably remember, we began this whole conversation focusing on hand washing and concerns about surfaces and contaminated grocery bags and surfaces in public. But when you look back over the last year and look at the predominance of evidence of where most people get infected, it seems that surfaces aren't as important as we first feared, that airborne, or I should say particle transmission, aerosol transmission within 6 feet of people, being close to people indoors without a mask, that's what we should really be worried about most and protecting from. It's still a good idea to wash your hands, but I think most of the advice on hand washing now is that when you're wearing a mask and should you be infected, the virus will be loaded in that mask. And then if you touch it, if you handle it, you've now got virus on your hands. And when you touch other surfaces or touch other people, you can spread it. So I think there's less concern these days about grocery bags and mail that you might get. Still, I tell people to do what makes you comfortable, but I think there's really a low risk, particularly if these objects have been outside in cold air or even hot temperatures. The virus doesn't do very well on these inanimate objects.
Dave, thanks a lot for that call. In our last minute, Dr. Remington, we've talked a lot about a lot of the big stories going on with COVID-19. What are you watching for in the next few weeks?
Well, I'm watching this new variant. I think we're ramping up in this country the ability to track it. I suspect it's far more common than we think, not only in Wisconsin, but nationwide. And I think it'll be fascinating to see how this variant has really been able to find a way to infect more people more quickly, and it will become the predominant strain. And if we respond by doing a little better job of taking these messages to heart, then we won't see a surge. But if we're not so careful, we could see a new surge of cases and sort of a return to what we were experiencing in November, which would be really a public health disaster.
Dr. Remington, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
Dr. Patrick Remington is Professor Emeritus in the UW School of Medicine and Public Health. We talked to him today about the state of coronavirus in Wisconsin and around the country, including the new variant of the virus that was first documented here this week.